No, it was kind of weird going and seeing the rugby match and not recognizing most of the faces that were playing. I don't know, is that just like a sign of being too old?
No, it's just a sign that we're not involved.
I know, it is kind of weird that I've stepped back from playing with the team, so that I could focus a bit more on Navli and final year and getting through rotations, but I miss it. I do miss playing rugby.
Yeah, so I felt like I missed just being out and being part of a team and stuff, even though I didn't always go as often as most people because I usually worked one night that we had training. But it's sad. But also, on like some days or nights when it's raining, I'm just like, oh, I'm really glad that I'm not going out there in the rain.
Or watching a game like
So it shows
today.
my commitment level, right? I'm like, oh, it's raining.
It's raining, can't play. No, but like I seriously miss that side, like you mentioned, being a part of a team and getting to do something where I just run around and hit things. It's good for your mental state, honestly.
Yeah, hitting things, losing brain cells, great for your mental state, right? As we talk about people getting concussions a lot in rugby. But
No, there are safe ways of
letting
tackling.
out the release, you
Yes,
know?
yes.
Sometimes you just gotta punch something.
No, yeah, no, it would. I think it would be really fun. I was thinking about this today, actually. I think it'd be fun to take up kickboxing. Like you'd mentioned it before.
I've always wanted to take up
Yeah.
kickboxing, but there's no place close to us that's within my student budget price
Yeah, I
range.
was like, the price range is really the
But there
thing.
isn't a place that's close to us either that has the type of kickboxing that I want.
Yeah.
Because there's like classes that do it's like, what is it called? It's like aerobic kickboxing or something.
Oh,
So
okay.
you don't like you do like kickboxing motions and stuff, but you don't actually like hit a lot of things. And I could be wrong, but I think like it's more of just like
The
doing the
motions
motions of it,
and
which is still a workout. I'm not saying it's
yeah.
not, but like I want to hit something, basically, is what I'm saying.
We're
But yeah, I
aggressive
can't find
human
like
beings.
classes that are close to us. And then again, the price. I just can't right now because
No,
I'm
no.
broke.
Vet school is too expensive between being in vet school, having to live outside the country, not really having a job, and having to pay for travel and going to placements, which that's just one of the things that really frustrates me about being in vet school, is obviously you have to get experience elsewhere, outside of being in the immediate vet school, but you have to dish out so much money to get there and then to stay somewhere. Just to be able to get a minor amount of experience, and it just racks up, and the debt is exorbitant. Anyway, but
But debt's another
that's
story
another
that we
story.
just
There are
aren't
so
going to
many
talk
good
about.
things, so many good things,
I mean, I
and
think you have, like, I would have time and money for, like, one extracurricular activity.
yeah.
And so, like, I picked some different things, but, like, this year I've decided to, like, focus on climbing and bouldering and stuff, which, I mean, I don't go a lot because, again, I don't have lots of money, but that's what I've decided to kind of spend my money on and do that instead, just because it's close and it's easy. And, like, I can go whenever I'm free. Whereas rugby is hard because like it's only Tuesday and Thursday evenings, and usually I'm either working or I've got to study because we all know I'm very behind, almost always. So
Natalie.
it's things like that. But like, you just have to pick one thing, and you have to pick something that is, I mean, everything costs money. It does. But like, you try and pick something that doesn't cost as much money and doesn't take loads of time, and so you just have to prioritize. I really wish I could do it all.
No, seriously, I feel like I
So
need like a clone of myself just to be able to do everything that I would really
my
want to
problem
do.
is I'm not really good at any like I'm not great at anything because I like everything, so I just want to like try everything, which means I'm then like mediocre
Jack
at
of
it
all
all.
trades, master of none.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. So like all the sports I'm like, oh, like I could play that, I could do that, and like I start, I'm like, this is fun, and I'm like, oh, that one also looks fun, let me go try that one. And so that means that I'm never really good at anything.
Yeah, but it's fun just to go try things out. But like for me, I picked up running when I started vet school because A, once you have the kit, it's cheap, and B, Scotland is a really cool place to run.
If you like running,
I love
yes, which Mo
running.
does, which
I
is great.
love running. Yeah.
Nothing about running sounds like fun to me. Somebody asked me the other day, they were like, oh, so like, do you run? Do you exercise? And I was like, I run if something's chasing me. And I think that's about it. So there you go. Or like, unless I have to, or if the other day, like when one of the horses got out, I sprinted.
Gosh, that moment. I sprinted. Wish I had seen that.
But
I wish I had
besides
seen that.
Those moments, running, not at the top of my list of things to do. But
I had almost forgotten about
maybe
that.
Maybe before we tell the story, yeah, we should just, like intro. Roll the intro.
Hey guys, and welcome back to Scrubbed In. My name is Mo.
And I'm Danny.
And we are final year vet students at the Royal Dick School of Veterinary Studies.
That we are. Welcome to the podcast, y'all.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like we've been in final year for so long now.
So long. Since June.
That's a long time. If you think about it, like June,
July, August, well,
July
September.
We weren't technically. June,
like July, 4 months, yeah. 4.5 months.
Yeah, but that's like one whole semester. That's if you true. Think about it. But everybody else, they didn't start the semester till September. They've only been in school for like a month and a half.
That's true.
So
right, I give you that.
It's been. It feels like it's been quite a while.
I mean, to be fair, we are almost finished with core rotations, and then we only have 9 weeks of selecteds, and then that's it. So, good point.
Mind
you
blown.
You have a point. We are mostly done.
Yeah,
well done.
Yeah, we're mostly done with. Like the majority of what final year consists of when it comes down to like actual curricular activities.
Activities, yeah.
Activities.
Where we have to actively be engaged.
Yeah, where we're still in the, where we're still in the mode of I'm studying for an exam.
True.
That's like the stage we're in right now. Whereas after January, we'll be in the stage of I'm having to study because I legitimately have to know this. Not because it's for an exam.
Yeah, because our final, like, we our last forever exams, assuming that we pass
Touch
everything.
Wood.
Assuming
wood.
That we pass everything. But yeah. We're just going to say that we will be in January.
Yep.
Which is just craziness.
I know.
Although I did just say to my mom today, I was like, I need to write on my calendar when, like, the reset date for Navalee is, just so that I keep that free in case. You know, just as an in case thing. Because we know my track record for passing things the first time. Not really great. But it's okay.
But if you have to reset it, whatever. It happens.
True. So but like, I'm like planning. I'm starting to plan all of my travels and like my, from basically January on, I'm like planning my life. And I'm like, oh, I want to be here and here and here. And then I was like, I should really keep that week free and be in Scotland just in case. Like, I really hope I won't use it. And if I'm free, then I'll just, you know, go up to the Highlands or something. But like,
yeah.
I was like, I need to be in Scotland. Just during whenever that is.
Just in case, you know, never know. No, but it's kind of mind-boggling. Like, I was actually watching a video from someone who graduated recently, not from this school, but it was, like, his first day of being a veterinarian. And in part of the video, he's literally just kind of walking back and forth, and he's like, I'm actually the doctor now. And, like, he had a scenario on his first day when he's supposed to just be getting the intro of where everything is. And they had emergency come in and they're like, oh, we need you, doctor. And he's like, doctor who? Where?
Where's the doctor?
Where's the doctor?
Literally,
oh,
that's going to be me.
The doctor.
Like, I can't tell. Even the other day in rotations, they were like, oh, yeah, here, you do this. And they were like handing me stuff. And they're like, here, what do you want? And I was like, I don't know what I want. What do I want? I'm like, I'm not used to having somebody get stuff for me.
Yeah.
Normally, I'm getting stuff for someone else. Like,
yeah.
I know what you would want. So give me what you want. Because. I don't know.
To be transitioning from this, like, we've literally been students our entire lives. Like, students in the fact that we're always having to do something to, like, get to someone else's level of knowledge. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. We've always been the person getting
things
for someone else.
Every day is a school day. I'm not planning on stopping learning after I graduate.
No. I'm not talking about the learning aspect. I'm talking about like the hierarchy aspect.
No, very true.
Always being a student. Whereas very, very shortly, we will be the person being, no, I need this and give this dog this much drug.
I know. It's slightly terrifying.
But exhilarating.
Yeah, but also slightly, I mean, just especially because the other day somebody, we were literally just doing surgery and they're like, oh, here, I'll stand here and I'll hand you stuff. And I'm like, oh, normally that's my job. And like, you're over here. Like, I'm confused.
Reversal.
I'm very confused. Maybe we should switch spots. And they were like, no, this is good. And I'm like, I mean, I really want to do it. I do. But
yeah.
Also, I'm very confused because normally you're standing in my spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
no,
I don't know what to do.
No, totally. Like, there was one of the surgeries we did back when we were still on small animal. And like, there's always a veterinarian scrubbed into the surgery, of course, because we're still students. And there were a couple parts where I asked her for confirmation about like, oh, how would you do this better maybe than the way I've already been shown? But there were so many other points where she's like, I'm just here. You just keep doing what you're doing.
You do your thing.
And we actually had like a volley, like back and forth conversation of being like, oh, this is one of the ways I was taught how to do something. And she's like, oh, I really, really like the way you're doing that. Can you show me? Like, it felt like I was actually talking with someone as a colleague rather than they're my teacher, they're my professor, where there was that kind of step between our levels, I guess you could say.
Yeah, so you can say we're getting there. We're getting there.
It was nice.
But it's still weird. Like, when people ask me stuff, I'm like, no, that's not a question for me. That's a question for a doctor. that's not a question that I can answer for you. And they're like, no, you should. And the doctor looks at you, that you should be able to answer that. And I'm like,
crap.
Well, let me think about that for a minute. Hold on.
I'll get back to you. Give me a moment.
Please hold while I just have a moment to freak out. And then I'll come back.
It's kind of like the one of the scenes in, what's the movie, Inside Out or something, where there's like,
yeah, like the voices in the head.
The control center in the head, and they're like panic freaking out, and papers are going everywhere, and fire is happening. Meanwhile, on the outside, you're just calm, cool, and collected, but inside, freaking out. And then you pull it together, and you somehow word vomit an answer, and the clinician is like, yep, that's kind of right. And you're like, phew.
My thing lately is I'm just like, I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember what it's called. That's literally my response to everything. I'm like, I know what you're saying. I remember this, but it's on the tip of my tongue. And then they stare at you long enough and then they just give you the answer because they realize that. And then as soon as they say it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, it's like I'm really
whether it is or not.
It's like I'm really trying to figure this out and give you an answer so that we can have a conversation about it. But literally, there's just crickets going on in my head right now. Like,
yeah,
that's
and
it.
Then there's sometimes they ask you stuff and you're like, no, and they try and give you hints. And like that happened the other day. She was like trying so hard, and all three of us were standing there, and then she finally gave us the answer, and all of us were like, oh yeah, we never would have come up with that. Like, that was not coming out of our mouth at all. But thanks for trying.
Yeah, it's just strange, like. Going from the transition of being a student to kind of becoming doctors. And I don't know, like, there was a placement I was on this past summer and the summer before where the vet techs, they referred to me as baby vet, which was kind of endearing just to think like, oh, they actually did look to me to a degree as someone who was eventually going to become a veterinarian, not that awkward, annoying student that just happens to be there. So to have people who are already looking at you with this kind of sense of, no, you're going to be a doctor and you're going to do okay. Like, that just provides a whole level of confidence, considering you always hear these rumors that go around while you're a student, and people will be like, oh, this is the most incompetent year and you guys don't know anything and how could you become vets? And you're like, that just really rats on our confidence. The reality is we're at a really, really, like, really good school. People recognize the name and they look at us as graduates and they're like, no, you guys know stuff. Like, you're good at what you do. But it is just always nice to have people who are veterinarians look at you and be like, no, you're going to do okay. Because right now, like, there are definitely
sometimes it does not feel like
there
that.
There are times where I am scared out of my skin being like, oh my gosh, I don't know this. Why don't I know this? And they're going to ask... Like, they're clearly going to ask me this on my first day in practice, when the reality is they're not.
I had, who was it the other day? They were like, here's some secrets for you when you're in practice. Like, never take a pen into an exam room, because that's always an excuse to be like, oh, I forgot my pen. I'll be right back. And you can step out and be like, what is going on? And you just take a few minutes while you get your pen. Or like things like that. They're like, leave something outside. So that if you can't remember, or if you have to look something up, or you just need a moment, you can be like, I'm really sorry, I forgot this. Let me go back and get it. And I was like, yes, that will be my thing now. Like, I will do that always.
And then the poor client's going to be like, that vet is always forgetting a pen.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm going to bring him a pen.
Okay. And then they're going to hand me one. I'll be like, snap. Actually, sorry. I have like a very specific pen. Like, it's my lucky pen.
I need my lucky pen.
can't use yours, but thank you.
When in fact your lucky pen is picking the brains of every single veterinarian in the back of the hospital.
Or it's like a nurse's pen that you steal off them. Let's be honest. I'm going to have to tell my nurses to be like, don't be efficient. If I say I forgot my pen, do not offer me one that you have in your pocket. Because they will.
Yeah. Nurses are awesome. And actually, what is it? This coming week is Vet Tech Week.
It is.
Woo, yeah. Woo. Did you see the video that was posted on by Vet Tech Kelsey and Snout School?
No, I've not seen it yet.
You haven't?
No.
Ah, Danny, you need to go see it. It's really good. I'll leave it at that, and I'll maybe I'll post the link.
But vet techs, vet nurses literally hold everything together. Mm-hmm.
They are the glue, the backbone.
I just can't even.
We love them so much.
We love them so much. I love you. thank you so much for putting up with all of us.
Mm-hmm. Vet students and young vets who have no idea what's going on or how to do certain things.
Yeah. And even literally just like my whole first 2 years after I graduate, I'm just future people who have to deal with me. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm so sorry, but thank
I'm
you.
I'm sorry,
so much.
But thank you. Help me.
Help me, I'm drowning. No.
So
no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
But anyway.
Yeah.
You want me to tell me my crazy horse story?
Wait. We gotta talk about when didn't happen this past week. It happened the week before, didn't it?
Yeah, it happened like 2 weeks ago.
But we didn't but we missed it somehow.
Because
okay.
I didn't want to tell people about the thing that I did wrong.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
we just breezed over it.
I mean, should we talk about it publicly on the podcast?
I think it's quite funny, actually. Now that it's done.
But anyway, so we're still on equine. We only have one more week of equine, and then we move into farm, and then we move into free choice. But you've heard this spiel before. But yeah, so that week you were on ortho.
I don't remember what I was. Yeah, I was on
ortho. You're
on ortho.
Yeah,
because it was my patient.
It was the case that we were like, is it
going
to be medicine or ortho?
Yeah, I was also on nights.
Yeah.
As well. So I was tired. But anyway, it was like a mare and foal together, and we're taking care of the foal. So the mare we usually just left alone because, you know, she just did her own thing.
Yeah, she didn't like to be touched.
So yeah,
anyway.
You go in. You close the door behind you, but usually you don't lock it. Like, if it's closed, it's fine. And we went in to do our stuff with the foal, like we always did. And this mare just decided she did not want to be where she was. So we had closed the door, right? The door was closed, but not locked, but closed.
Because safety first.
Yeah. And I was like, we're fine. And that's what we always did. And so it was fine. This mare decided that she was going to open the door. She, shoved her nose in through the door, wide open, and just, you know, sped out, not cantered, but quick, fast walk out the door. And I was like, get it, because I always have a buddy, and I'm holding the foal, and I was like, get the door. I was like, even if you can just this is gonna sound really mean, but just close the door on her neck, so that she can't finish going out the door. I was like, get the door, get it. We did not get the door closed, can I just say. So she went out, and luckily, well, we were both terrified because the door at the very end was open enough for a person to slide through. So not big enough for a horse, but she had just shoved the other door open. We were like, if she really wanted to, she probably could get out. So my partner's sprinting down the the way after her. Luckily, she freaked out because she didn't have her foal with her, and her foal freaked out because he didn't have his mom. So she stopped in the middle, and then we were able to get her into a different stall. And then we put her lead rope on, we brought her back, and it was fine. But literally, I have never, both of us, you could see it, our faces were I can't believe that just happened. It was terrifying. Let's never do that ever again.
Where was I when this happened?
Everybody was gone. It was literally us two in the hospital. I mean, I'm sure people were around, it was us two who saw it. And we both looked at each other, and we're like, we're never telling anybody that ever happened.
And now you've just told the world.
And then one of the grooms came as we were trying to put the mare back in. And she didn't want to, step over something, so she was being kind of hard,
being
difficult. And so she came up, and she's like, what happened, guys? And we're like,
You don't want to know.
So we had to tell her, and we were both like, we're so sorry. We promised we closed the door. We're really sorry this happened. And she was like, it happens to all of us. It's fine. And then, she helped us put her back in and everything. And it was fine. And then we both looked at each other and we're like, we're never telling anybody. And then maybe, 2 hours later, we were telling everybody.
Yeah. Then the whole hospital
because
knew,
we were just
knows.
Like, well, and then I felt bad because I was like, if she's starting to do that, she's going to do it to somebody else. And I didn't want her to do it to somebody else. So I had to tell at least, the other people who were taking over her care, especially overnight. I was like, if that happens to them in the middle of the night, that would be terrifying. So I had to go up to them and be like, don't let her do this. She started doing it. So I would just recommend locking the door behind you every time you go in. It's not like it's hard to lock it either.
No.
But yeah, that was my terrifying horror story, and basically had a heart attack in the middle of the hospital.
I just remember hearing the story for the first time, and like, I almost couldn't believe it, but at the same time you can, because you know these horses, a lot of times they stick their nose through the door and they know how to push it open. And they just try to run out, usually with you attached to the lead rope. I mean, that's the happens.
Well, but yeah, we didn't even have one attached to her because we don't do anything with her.
Yeah.
We're doing, so like, I had the foal. I was like well on it and I had the foal in hand, but the mare, I did not. And she did her own thing. And so, yeah, the groom was really nice. She like helped us put her back in. And then she looked at us both and goes, so what have we learned from this experience? And we were like, to lock the door. Always.
Oh my goodness. No, so that was actually like a couple weeks ago, but this past week, let's see, yeah, I was on soft tissue and you were on general practice.
Yeah, I was out driving around in the countryside.
Yeah, so I mean, I enjoyed my week on soft tissue. We basically did a bunch of airway surgeries. I helped with the GA. Got to do a smidgen of a hand float. I had never done a hand float. I had only ever used power floats. So that was kind of a new experience for me, but I really did enjoy it. Getting just to practice doing dentistry, and I learned, well, not learned, but it helped kind of rekindle my love for equine dentistry. It was a good time.
I love dentistry. I thought it was great. I loved soft tissue week. We did loads of dentistry though. Like, you guys saw loads of airway surgeries, which we saw none. Really? When I was on soft tissue. So it was even funny because we do a lot of peer teaching. So we had some of the third years come in and like everybody's giving talks, and we didn't have to because we were out on general practice, so we were out and about, but we happened to come back early, and so we sat and listened to the spiel like 3 times. And it was great because like she was talking about the endoscope and then the dynamic endoscope and stuff and all these things, and she was like, this is how you drive it. And I was like, I'm going to sit here and listen because I didn't hear any of this. And like, I haven't seen any of this because this did not happen when I was on soft tissue.
No, yeah, we got to use the endoscope quite a bit during my week on soft tissue. So that was kind of cool just to see how it's done, see what the sinuses look like in a real live animal rather than them showing us, here is a photo of the equine sinuses.
Yeah, which you're always like looking at and being like, what is this nonsense?
So like to see it go from being outside the horse's nose to into the nose, to into the different meatuses, and then actually going into, like, it was just really, really cool to see it that kind of direction. But we got to see a really good dental extraction as well. So other than just normal floating, there was a pretty extensive, two extensive maxillary extractions. Maxillary extractions. One of them took forever, and actually we didn't get to see the end of it because we had the peer teaching, and that was really fun for me just because I really enjoy teaching. So I had a thing on sinuses, so that's why I know some things about sinuses now, or at least to refresh my memory. But I always feel so bad for the third years when they come, because at this point in their studies they haven't done a ton of equine medicine, so a lot of times they come in and they're like, we don't know anything that you're asking us. And it's just reminding them, you know what, you're not here to surprise me with your knowledge on equine medicine. You haven't learned it yet, but you are here to get more familiar with the hospital and just feel a little bit more comfortable with some of these topics that you'll come across in years future. But I had one kid try and fall asleep on me during my talk.
Don't take it personally. To be fair, excuse me, we have final years that fall asleep
and like on our every professors single talk
all the time. So,
and they get called out for it, and they feel no remorse.
And he still like literally he got called out the last time.
I know.
And he had
hilarious.
No, I don't think he had any idea that he got called out.
No, I don't think he did.
Like, I don't think he had any idea.
There's a specific
that he was
person
being called out for sleeping.
There's a specific person that we both know who it is, but we're not going to share that name here. But
so
it is
happens
funny
always. So don't be offended. Mm-hmm.
No, it was just kind of funny because the kid, you could tell he felt really, really bad, but I wasn't going to pick him out for it.
I would have been like, right, get some more sleep tonight, man.
Which at the same time, it was like, dude, you have no right to fall asleep. Well, I can't say that. I don't know what's going on in his life personally. But we had just finished our last day of cottage duty. That's the other thing that happened this week. We finished our official end of cottage duty.
Yeah.
For equine rotations.
Finito.
Yeah. Well,
you're... So in theory. We shouldn't be sleep deprived anymore until next year.
Literally until next year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, well, the thing is, I've already signed up for more cottage duty.
Yeah, because everybody has to cover one more week of either small or large. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
And I signed up for a week of large animal out of hours duty. Did you sign up for out of hours?
Like, yeah, mine's large animal as well.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to see if I can like swap my weeks though around just because it falls in a week that's bad for me. So we'll see what I end up doing.
Yeah.
But as of right now, yes, I have another week of equine.
And then if you take on an equine selected rotation, then you do more cottage duty.
Woo! Hey!
Which that's just close to real life, so it's not that big of a deal.
Well, that makes sense. If you choose to be with, like, horses, then you should be covering cottage duty, in my opinion. So.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, we find out about selecteds this next week. That'll be exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, about that stuff. Oh, geez. Trying to think. What else? Oh, yeah. This past week was also kind of cool because I got to meet someone that I recorded an episode with, like, in real life.
Oh, yeah. You saw our photos.
Yeah. I had no idea that normally, when I record with someone, it's usually over the internet or over the phone, so I don't necessarily get to meet them in person. But it was actually about this time last year that I recorded an episode with Dr. Dave Nickel. And past Monday, he had sent me a message being like, hey, I'm coming to speak at your school. Are you going to be there? And I was like, wait, what? I had no idea that this talk was even happening or that he was coming. But it was really, really awesome to get to meet him in real life. Such a genuine, awesome human being, positive influence on the veterinary profession on all levels. So that was really, really cool just to be like someone who's in the Vetstagram community is also a real life human being. So that was...
Which all of us are at some point. So, yes. Well, I shouldn't say all. Most of us. Who knows? There might be someone who isn't. But most of us are real life people.
Yeah, it was just kind of cool to bridge that gap from social media to real life.
Yeah, it's cool when you like meet somebody that you've talked to and then you see them in person and you're like, oh hi, we're like technically friends, but
yeah,
we haven't actually met, so
internet
friends. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, and the episode that we recorded was about evaluating the like expectations and realities of the veterinary profession and like how students can view that and how it kind of causes some of the issues then and some of the good things that we have in the veterinary profession. Because like as students, we come into vet school with these preconceived notions about what the profession is like, about what school is like. And when you have that mismatch between your expectations and what you actually experience, that's where that dissonance happens. And you either, like some people can become very dissatisfied with where they're at. So we had a whole long conversation about that. Which then made me think about the fact that of how far into our core rotations we are now and trying to think back to what did I think core rotations was going to be like and how has it actually been compared to that. And I think at the beginning of core rotations, I put a lot more stress on it and thought it was going
to
be...
I think when everybody starts, we're like, right, we have to like prepare ourselves for the week. Yeah. We have to like study all the things they've given us. Yeah. And you have to like know all the answers. And now I'm like... Nah. Do I even prep for the week? Of course I do. Of course I do that.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, so as much like as I probably should. I had should. Much higher expectations for what core rotations were going to be like than what they actually panned out to be. You know, I was that level of stress of being like, oh yeah, I have to have read all of my lectures for that topic. Or at least like soft tissue surgery or something, I had to read all of that and know all the information before I get into that week. Nah, no, you don't.
Let's be honest. It is nice if you do. And then it's nice because you can answer the questions. I think you actually know what they're talking about without them having to explain stuff to you. But they're going to explain it anyway.
Yeah.
This is probably a terrible attitude, but I'm like, they're going to explain it anyway. So.
And a lot of what it is going to be a higher level of knowledge than what's in your notes.
Well, and for me,
especially
it makes
in a referral hospital.
More sense when they explain it anyway, because usually they're explaining it along with the case. And so then they're showing you stuff with that specific case at the same time. And for me, that just sticks so much better.
Mm-hmm. So having the physical, like, case to actually put it to, it does help so much more. And of course, like, during the week, I'm going through and I'm reading around the case and I'm gaining as much information as I can. I'm not just sitting there idle.
We're not doing nothing.
I'm always, like, doing something. I just felt like my idea of what I was expecting to happen was just not at that high a level, maybe. But I still learned a lot. Still learned a ton. It helped identify where my gaps in my knowledge are. But moving forward, I think it's given me a much better sense about what selected rotations are going to be like and what to expect, essentially.
Yeah, I think selectives is going to be even more fun than core, because I've really enjoyed core and I've learned a lot. But I just think they give you a lot more, like, rope on selectives, and they let you do a lot more and they let you try a lot more, because they're like, we know that this is what you're really interested in because you chose to come back to us. So, I mean, you're still under supervision, and obviously they're not just going to let you loose.
Be free.
Run away. Be free. But, like, even on the core rotations and stuff, they're like, yeah, we've decided that during core rotations, we're going to come in with you to, like, your exams, whereas during selecteds, like, we'll just let you kind of get on with it, and then you come to us. So, like, depending on the service, it's all different. But I just feel like they're going to give us a lot more of a chance to be vets, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do a little bit more, have free reign, have more autonomy. There's that word, autonomy.
Yeah, I should use that. But anyway, yeah, so selected should be fun.
Yeah, because, like, this past week you did a castrate.
Yeah, that was, I told my mom, I was so excited. I was like, yeah, I got to, like, cut balls off a horse. I've never done that before. And my mom was like, wow, that's exciting. And I was like, it is exciting. Those I was very excited.
No, those are the things that make us excited.
And she was like, well, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. So, but it was just cool because, like, we went in and we were going to do it standing. And then it turned out that he was just not going to have it.
Needed and so high we, level of sedation.
Yeah, so then we had to end up putting him under GA out on the field, which was really, yep, like, a cool experience to see. Slightly terrifying as you're, like, kneeling down in between this horse's legs. And if she's like, yeah, if he wakes up, he's going to kick you in the face. And I'm like, yeah,
thanks
for that. Since his hoof is, like, literally right in front of my face. It's probably the very first time that I have been very, very grateful to be wearing a helmet. I was like, thank you so much. I love this thing that's on my head right now because it will probably protect me
kind of
so much. Wait, well, more than nothing.
More than nothing.
Yeah. I'm like, if this horse suddenly, like, wakes up and kicks me. Granted, I would duck, but even still, I would have been, like, I was in the worst spot out of everybody doing that thing because I was in the corner. I was stuck behind both legs, and the one leg that was pulled up was literally right in front of my face. So I was like, thank you so much to whoever was running anesthesia because I love you. You kept the horse asleep, and I was perfectly fine. But yeah, so you got to do that, which was really cool to watch and see. And it was cool to watch the owners. Like, they loved it. They were, like, taking pictures the whole time, and we took him out, and because we had to put him under, we ended up doing it closed instead of open. So then after, she was like, oh, to think about it, I probably should have done this before we started waking him up, but can you just, like, cut those open, make sure everything's in there, and that we didn't, like, miss a part of it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. So I, like, went over and they were like, hold on, we got to take a video while you do this so that we can send it to people. And, like, they were loving it. And it was just really cool.
I love clients like that.
It was just really fun to be out on, like, the livery yards and the farms and stuff with the people. And, yeah, it was really fun.
General practice is my game. I love it so much.
You also got to love, like, when they put you on the spot as well. Like, one of our vets, he took us out and he's like, right, I'm going to go back to the car and I'm going to get this thing and you have to stand here. And when I come back, you have to tell me what breed these horses are because they're, like, a special breed of horse. And I was like, awesome. Thank you for that. And he walks away and the owners are like, so what do you think? And I'm like, so what breed are your horses? And they're like, nice try. We're smarter than that. And I was like, all right, then. I'm like, I'm just trying to use my resources. That's all.
Phone a friend.
Yeah. They were like, if we were, like, the first time that students had come out here, we might have fallen for that. And I was like, well, that's a bummer.
No, I had a client that every single time the vet goes and sees them, she always asks the students, how old do you think this horse is? And so she was like, all right, you take a look at him, do a quick physical exam. And when I come back, I want you to tell me how old you think this horse is. And I'm like, great, awesome. I'm going to use my aging skills. And I go and I lift up this horse's front lip and he has no front teeth.
That's very helpful, actually.
It was very helpful. And I just looked at the owner and yeah, this big old smirk came across their face. They're like, this is my favorite joke. I love it. And I'm just like, gee, thanks.
Thank you for that. Well, I scared a lot of owners this week because I'm really terrible at guessing horses' weights. Like, I'm terrible at guessing weights in general, but for some reason, I'm really bad with horses. Like, I can guess a cow's weight pretty, I mean, not great, but okay. Dogs, I do okay on. Cats, I always guess them heavy. Same. But, like, horses, I am always, like, a good 100, 150 kilos off. In either direction. Usually I'm too heavy. And so literally all of the clinicians this week, they knew. Because I told them, I was like, look, they'd ask. And I'd be like, I'm really bad. Like, you don't want me to guess how much this horse weighs. I'm like, I'll just ask the owner. And they're like, no, you have to get better at it. So then I had two clinicians that every single horse, they'd look at me. And like when I was paired with somebody else, they're like, Danny has to answer first. Like, you cannot guess before she guesses. She has to guess first. And I was like, ugh. I like hated them, but also it was good for me. But literally so many owners, I would guess and they'd be like, no. And I'm like, right, take that down by like 100 kilos. Maybe that's right. So they were like, don't you dare say that my horse is 600 kilos when really he's like 450. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is pretty off.
I'm terrible. And I'd look at them and be like, I don't really know. And then ponies are the worst because I'm like, they look fat, but they're small. So I'm like, I don't know what they are. They're like, I don't know. I was really bad. Then luckily, like, the owners were all really good. And they just laughed at me because I'd look at them and be like, please don't be alarmed by whatever I say. It's going to be wrong. So I met a lot of really nice people this week. We chatted quite a lot.
That's good. No, I seriously enjoy general practice on equine. It's just one of the things I found I really, really love.
It's crazy to me that there was like loads of places that I drive past all the time and had no idea that they were like livery yards or whatever. Because from the outside, like especially from the main road, they kind of just look like a main house, you know, and then you go back behind them and that's where all the horses are. And there's usually like a hedge or a wall or something. So you can't see back into there and you'd pull back in. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's like 20 horses back here. And yeah, like
horses are squeezed into like, every single corner of this country.
I'm just like, this is amazing. And it was just really cool because I was like, I've driven past here so many times and I had no idea that there was like a livery yard back here. And like I've seen a couple horses as I drove by, but you only ever see like
two
at a time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh well, there is lots of horses in this country.
No, so yeah, general practice is really awesome, but I think going back to the autonomy thing and selected rotations, we're going to get a lot more autonomy, a lot more chances to practice things that are basic skills that we need on our first day out in practice, like placing catheters and castrations and dentals and vaccines and all that fun jazz. So I'm really looking forward to that. Do you have any expectations of selecteds?
No, I just really want to know what I got. But we don't find out until I'm so impatient. Let's just be real. I'm not patient, which I know about myself. I'm very impatient. I just want to plan all my travels, basically, is what I want. So I need to know what I'm doing with my life for my selecteds before I can plan the rest of it. And so I'm just being very impatient. We don't find out till Friday. And I'm like, come on, people, pick up the pace. That's how I feel. So those are my feelings about selecteds right now.
Those are the only feelings you have. But the people aren't going to know what we got for selecteds because this is the last episode for a very long time.
Just because we're taking care of ourselves here. And basically, if we spend time doing this, then we won't spend time studying, which let's be honest, everybody needs a good study break. But this turns into like a good study break day break.
Yeah, between the recording, the editing, the putting it out into the social sphere and managing all of that jazz, like I need to get those 3 hours of a week back. So from now until post Navly, at least you won't be hearing from us. Granted, I think
and you probably won't be hearing from me till like January. Let's be honest.
Okay.
I mean, because I'll be away all of December.
Yeah.
So
true.
Unless we like Skype in and
well,
do a
how
chat.
How do I record most of my episodes?
Which we could do.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if we don't do that, then you won't hear from me till like January.
Yeah, that's true. No, but like I'm legit going to delete Instagram off my phone. So like I'll come back to it afterwards, but this way I won't just have it there to just check. If I want to see something on Instagram, I'm going to have to download the app again and like log in. So it just puts that extra step to keep me from wasting that 5, 10, 40 minutes.
Two hours, however long it is.
On Instagram.
Long time.
So people won't be able to contact me via that, which is, it's an okay thing. I mean, this is legit the last like 4 or 5 weeks leading up to Navli.
Yeah.
So if I can
crazy.
Put my head to the grindstone for the next 4 or 5 weeks.
So that we don't have to do it ever again.
So we don't ever have to do it again. That is the goal, is that I never have to take the Navli again. So if I can like just pressure myself through this time period, like that's not a long time in the grand scheme of things. So yeah, needless to say, you won't hear from the podcast. Like I might put together an episode or two in like by downtime. Downtime.
We have lots of downtime. What are you talking about?
I know, we just waste all our days away. No, I have a couple like backup episodes that I might throw together, or if nothing else, they'll just pop one out. I think I have a That Vet Life episode. That'll put out after Navli, of course. But yeah, other than that, it's going to be quite a bit of radio silence from this end of things. Sorry, guys.
We are alive, though.
We will be.
Hopefully we'll be alive. I guess I shouldn't make promises.
The Navli,
I don't know.
Keel us over.
I got injured this week. You never know what might happen.
Injuries do happen. Yep. But yeah, so that's what I'm doing. So I'm going to call it Offline October, even though we are halfway through October.
It's all right.
Yeah.
October, November.
October,
it's basically
November.
The same thing.
It's essentially what it's going to be.
I fly home before I take the Navli.
Same.
And I'm home for a few days because I wanted to get used to the time zone and stuff, because obviously I'm like 7 hours behind back home. So I wanted to get used to the time and stuff before I take my test. But I basically warned my whole family. I was like, look, I'm going to be home, but I am not home. I was like, I don't come home until the 21st of November, when really I get home on like the 16th or something. Because I was like, don't think I'm here. I'm not here. Don't talk to me. Don't bug me. I am studying.
Yeah.
Like,
don't come say hi to me.
I was like, because I will not get anything done. So I had to like prep them all and be like, look, I love you, but you're not allowed in my space. And like, I will hold myself up in a room. You get to bring food to my door, and that
oh
is
my
it.
Word. You're going to become your own prisoner.
No, I mean, I didn't tell them they had to bring me food, but yeah, I just like had to forward, because I get so distracted. I get distracted very easily, and especially when I'm home, like all I want to do is catch up with people, spend time with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just as much for me as it is for them, because I know that they're actually probably better than me. Let's be honest. So I tell them these things so that they can be like, get back downstairs into your room, just go study. Like, we don't want to talk to you, because I will be the one that's like sneaking out, being like, hey, how's it going, guys? Talk to me. I'm really bored.
See, that's why I'm deleting Instagram off my phone so that I can literally be in a study space with no distractions. Because like whenever I've gone home, like back to the States, it's not a time that I'm really studying. Like, I've never really studied back in the States.
People who are like, we have some people in our classes who during our study weeks and stuff, they'll go home, and I'm like,
I can't.
You guys have
no.
So much more self-control than I do. Well,
like,
done.
I've brought material home, like back to the States, to for like studying, to prep for exams or like future exams kind of thing. And it just sits there in a pile in my
exactly.
bag. I never touch it.
Yeah.
So
I take my stuff like when I went over to Germany and stuff for Christmas. I was like, this was a waste. Why did I pack this?
Yeah, so going home before the Navli is like, I'm really going to have to just zone in and zone out everything else so that I can focus on Navli, put as much time and effort into it as I can so that I can hopefully vomit it all back out for the exam, and then the very next day just do absolutely nothing.
Party.
I'm looking forward to
loving
that.
Loving it.
That's going to be such a good time. And at that point, I'll be back on social. And
we'll both be like, finished.
Survived. No, so that'll be what happens there. I mean, I'm not looking forward to 6.5 hours of sitting for the Navli, but it's a necessary evil.
We'll manage. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Those of us have gone before, and we will be the next ones. That was not very inspiring.
We're going to make it. Don't worry. But wish us luck, everybody.
Yeah, wish us luck.
And don't be sad if you don't hear from us.
I mean, we're both taking it within the first week that it opens.
Yeah. We're both just like, well, I didn't really have a choice. But also, I just wanted to get it done.
I just wanted it over with.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, that is what is happening here on the home front. I'm trying to think of anything else I need to add since you won't hear from us for a whole month. That's crazy. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think we've been
right. You guys
not taken a break like that before.
You know, just send, well, Mo won't answer, maybe.
I won't answer, but you can send me messages.
You can send me messages because I get on it. I need a break. So I just have a time limit set on my phone, so it automatically kicks me off after a certain time.
Smart.
So yeah, I'll get on every day for the time limit that I have. So there you go.
I mean, that's the goal, is that I'm not going to be on social for the next month, but you never know what will happen.
No, you're going to do it.
If you see me on social media, kick me off.
But anyway,
kick me off.
Yeah. Send us messages. If we don't get to you in the next month, we'll definitely get to you later. But
yeah. And if you guys have questions about Navli, now is the time to send them to us, because we won't see them for a month. And then we'll be able to answer them after the Navli.
Yeah, which is good, because we'll have then taken it. And in theory, we'll
know something.
Know things.
Well, I feel like not until we get the results back will we know if what we did to
prep
worked.
Well, right, but like, we'll know exactly like what the exam's like.
Yeah, we'll so know what the exam's go. Like. Absolute craziness of staring at a computer for 6.5 hours. That's about all I know.
So, but anyway.
Yeah, this is a whole lot of rambling about nothing.
We're
gonna, trying
like,
to end
say
this
goodbye
episode.
Now.
Yeah, so thank you guys for listening, like following along for every single week thus far. I keep getting some wonderful messages from you guys, and it just inspires me and encourages me to keep moving forward and to keep producing these things, because I know you are enjoying it. But yeah, thank you so much. We'll see you in a month's time.
Kay? Bye.
Bye.